Why 2021 has been the year for crypto. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams, in for Molly Wood. For years, cryptocurrency has been simmering at the edges of the financial system, viewed by many as a kind of fad. But now it seems like crypto is having its moment. This week, an exchange-traded fund, or ETF, that tracks Bitcoin futures debuted on the New York Stock Exchange. Futures are contracts that guess what Bitcoin might cost in the future, so the fund rises and falls based on how people think the cryptocurrency will perform rather than what it actually does. Bitcoin is a pretty volatile asset, and now it's being accepted by one of the oldest and most traditional financial institutions in the world. And it's a topic for quality assurance. Gil Luria is a technology strategist at D.A. Davidson. He says there are a few reasons why 2021 has been a turning point for crypto.
Many of the fund managers have already held crypto in their accounts for many years and have made a lot of money doing so. So they were prompted to start thinking about that as an investment their fund should make, that they should make on behalf of their customers. The second one is Bitcoin has grown to such a level, you can't just think of it as a cute little thing on the side. It's a big deal, and you have to have a strategy and you have to start dabbling. And finally, the third one and very important development was Coinbase going public. There's a mega cap that trades on the exchange this year. It started earlier this year. That all they do is crypto.
These are institutions that, you know, are very skeptical of crypto. But right now we do have these low interest rates. How are they marketing that to their clients?
Well, the right way to market it, and we see all the different ways, the right way to market crypto is that it is a highly speculative asset class. It should only be invested in with amounts that an investor is willing to lose.
How are regulators generally approaching this here in the U.S., this year of change around crypto?
Very thoughtfully. They have a lot of tools to address the types of behavior they're seeing in the market. There are things that are outright fraudulent, and they are going after those criminals. And that's a good thing, and we want that. There's nuances to crypto that they still have to adapt to, and they're doing that, and they're asking Congress to help them with that. But overall, they do have the tools to deal with it. And it, as it happens, the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission, Gary Gensler, is a crypto expert. And so he has a good plan that he's started executing on how to make sure that these crypto-related companies are well regulated. And that's a good thing for everybody involved. These companies should be regulated. Consumers need to be protected, but they need to be protected without shutting it down and slowing the growth of the category.
Is there some irony to the fact that crypto started as sort of an alternative to institutions of capitalism and now is being accepted and in some cases even promoted by these same institutions?
I would think of the parallel to the internet for 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. Initially, the internet was a novel thing that only small upstarts would get involved in. And some of those small upstarts ended up being the most important companies in the world, Amazon, Google. But everybody else also adapted and adopted the internet. We're going to see the same thing with crypto. There will be upstarts, but all other financial institutions need to figure out how to adapt to a world where a lot of the financial infrastructure is built on this type of technology, on crypto-based technology, and the good ones will. And they'll adapt and they'll grow and they'll succeed, just like today you see Walmart and Costco and Best Buy succeeding. And they've adapted to the internet and they compete with Amazon, just like many financial institutions will compete with the Coinbases of the world going forward.
This is also an unregulated currency. So what are some of the risks of it becoming more mainstream?
So the companies that do business in crypto are regulated. the technology itself, you can't regulate open source software. Mm-hmm. All these crypto assets are open source software. They operate on any computer anywhere in the world. You can regulate the participants, the companies that provide services around it. They already are regulated. They could be even more regulated, but you can't actually regulate the technology. And that's part of what Western governments have all recognized, that it's tempting to say, let's try to shut this down, but that doesn't make any sense because you can't truly shut it down, A, and B, if you try to shut it down, you're pushing innovation to other countries. If the US was to decide to make Bitcoin illegal, all that means is that all that investment dollars, all that venture capital, all those transaction processing investment dollars would go to Europe. And that's not something we want. We want the development. We want the technology to be here. We want to grow our companies here and create the wealth here. And so that's why we need to regulate the companies that do business here. But you can't actually regulate or shut down the technology as many people pontificate.
Bitcoin went up this week, probably influenced by the debut of this futures fund. How do you think it's going to change the way that investors that maybe looked askance at crypto and Bitcoin in the past might start interacting with these types of investments?
Yeah, so remember, the easiest way to own a crypto asset is through the wallets that are commercially available by companies like Coinbase, Square, and PayPal. That's still the easiest and most direct way to own a crypto asset. For many people, they don't want to have another investment application or third party that they work with. And that's why they want to invest in crypto in the same place they invested stocks and bonds. That's the market that ETFs appeal to. The real ETF that everybody's waiting for is the Bitcoin spot ETF. Everybody will be able to get direct exposure to that asset in the stock exchange right next to their other stocks. Bitcoin futures ETF is a step in that direction.
Gil Luria is a technology strategist at D.A. Davidson. And now for some related links. As Gil said, cryptocurrencies and futures trading can be pretty risky business, so tread carefully there. CNBC has a piece laying out the risks and just who might see the rewards from this new ETF. We'll have a link to that on our website, marketplacetech.org. Our marketplace colleague, Sabri Benishore, also covered the ETF on launch day. We've got a link to that story as well. For a bit of a dose of cold water when it comes to crypto, we've got a link to a couple of pieces at Slate by Ben McKenzie and Jacob Silverman. One highlights the role celebrities play pumping up dubious financial products online, including some cryptocurrencies, often at the expense of their fans. And the other warns of what they call the potential grenade at the center of the crypto economy, arguing there's an unavoidable clash coming between regulators and stablecoins like Tether. Because with this much money sloshing around, there's bound to be some bad actors. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.